Whether you've been here before or you never left, don't let your time slip away. It's the worst kind of theft. You don't get any return sitting wallowing in shame. It's time to put in work, bringing greatness to your name. It takes focus and dedication. We're not talking about luck. Gotta keep moving forward. Welcome to Coming Unstuck. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Coming Unstuck, the Step Up to Greatness podcast. You know, our goal here is to help you move past the feeling of being stuck, whether it be in your health, your mindset, or your career. Sometimes we get in our own way. Sometimes we don't want to grow or know how to grow because of the preconceived notions or biases that we've grown up with or been taught growing up. And today, my guest is someone who's been attacking that through his podcast. He's been giving excellent advice. And just the name of his podcast alone is serving as powerful advice. He's a public speaker with experience as a counselor and advisor. He's worked with the Federal Bureau of Prisons Central Office in DC and as a campaign coordinator of International Justice Mission. During this time, his passion for justice, culture, and social issues grew and led him on his path to starting that podcast, Listen, Then Speak. My guest today is Jamal Marshall. Jamal, what's happening? Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Feeling good today, man. It's a beautiful day here in Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing out there in D.C.?
It's getting pretty warm, as you can probably see on my face. I'm already shining like new money over here, but All right, man.
Well, good. So glad to have you on. You and I were talking during the pre-podcast interview that your Guestio profile is something that drew me to you, and what you're talking about in your podcast, Listen, Then Speak. And definitely in times like we're living in right now, with so much, seems like focus on social injustice, racial injustice, and then you have everything that has gone on in the political field as well. Was the election stolen? Wasn't it stolen? You must be experiencing quite a bit living out there in DC. So I'll definitely be interested in your, opinions and your experience on that and what happened during January 6th for you. And not that I'm trying to catch you and, you know, turn you into the FBI or anything like that. Like you see some idiots on Bumble doing, but, what can you tell me about your experience growing up and that led you to where you are now? Cause again, I saw in your profile, you talked about once being afraid of your shadow to now, and again, in our pre-podcast interview discussion, you were talking about you have no problem walking through whatever city, whatever neighborhood, and you have that sense. So what kind of was your experience been growing up that led you to where you are now?
Man, it definitely has not been anything linear. You know, I know one thing I love to do is sit and watch. Who doesn't love ESPN? Who doesn't love the Good Cinderella story? Mm-hmm. But I love the stories where it's like, okay, I don't know how he or she got to a certain point. And growing up, what a lot of people don't realize is most people see content around Father's Day or July, which is my dad's birthday. I definitely honor his memory. He is now no longer with us. He passed on December 5th, 2017. But prior to that, he was my best friend. But that friendship was one that kind of started 11 or 12 years ago before he passed. I didn't grow up that way. Growing up, I thought he was my worst enemy. So I grew up in a pretty abusive household with him. My mom, she is a Christian. So I felt like she was absolutely divine. And I felt like dad was mean enough to be Satan himself. And growing up in the house, I kind of took the brunt of a lot of that drug and alcohol abuse. And so I grew up in a lot of fear of him. And I didn't, you know, so much as a young kid, you know, learn manhood or learn manners or learn kindness. I didn't learn those things or how to treat people, how to talk to people. I had to kind of learn those things on my own. And so I looked at a lot of other guys as, man, they have some X factor that I don't. And I grew up in a lot of fear. You know, somebody just supposed to gain that confidence from you look to them. And so I was afraid of my own shadow in so many other ways. And I felt like when he would teach me something, it would be like, you know, not the negative things. Like he grew up on the streets himself. So, you know, he was always fighting. And, you know, so we didn't have money enough for a punching bag. So we would put like a bunch of like newspaper and all this stuff and stuff it up in like all these plastic bags and string them up. And so stuff like that he would teach me, which wasn't bad. But it's like I needed to know how to like treat a woman and how to just how to have manners and how to respond to authority. And I didn't learn that from him. So I hated him growing up.
Wow.
Even though I wanted to love him and wanted him to love me. So I'm being very super transparent here. It wasn't until 2006 where it was one night he was drunk and his eyes were bloodshot red, man. And he fell on the floor in the hallway. And he told me about his childhood and about my grandfather, who I never met. And when I heard that horror story and just the fact that this guy had a whole nother family that he was raising, and he was an entrepreneur, man, had a lot of money, left my father and my grandmother nothing, and told my grandmother that he paid her to abort him. I was just like, you know, that hatred became like a paradigm shift, like, ooh, you know, and it didn't exonerate him from the type of childhood that I and my other sibling had. But it helped me to understand him. And I know, you know, your audience, if your audience is like mine, it's probably a broad audience that may or may not believe in Christian faith or may have a different faith, but I am a Christian. And I didn't live, you know, a Christian life perfectly at all, but I felt like, well, hey, no better time than the present to introduce you to, you know, the person of Christ. And so I think at that point, after so many years, he was desperate. And he gave his life to Christ. And of course, I'm expecting perfection automatically. It was a very slow ride. Yeah. And I was still very bitter with him. But year by year, he would be changing. And I actually went away to a residential program just to get some help for myself. And I didn't realize that my biggest problem wasn't the things that I was doing, you know, that were not synonymous with my faith. It was bitterness and unforgiveness because I took my childhood as justification for the way that I should live. Mm-hmm. When I came back, I remember I shared with him things I never shared before. And we had this amazing conversation. And I was like, man, what did you do with my dad? And a person who was once my worst enemy became my best friend. And slowly, confidence that I had looked for in my young teens and early 20s, it's like it began to come into me. It was, I don't know how to really explain it to you in intelligible words. But that's, you know, how I developed. It was a late development, kind of like that late basketball player growth spurt, but it happened, and I'm grateful that it did happen.
Wow, that's such a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, you know, I was blessed with parents that were always loving and supportive. Myself, my wife had a different kind of a relationship with her parents growing up. But even with the relationship I had with my parents, and how blessed I was to have them and them give us the freedom, but they always were there to support us and let us know when they were disappointed, but not in a harsh way and everything. It still left me, you know, that bit of freedom to get into some trouble and do things that I shouldn't have been doing. And it wasn't until, honestly, I turned 34 and, you know, had, after living in Florida for 7 years and getting into trouble there, moved home, back home here to Ohio. I wasn't really a churchgoer at all during my time in Florida. And like, I'll go to church with my parents, you know. They'd start coming back to church they went to when they were my age growing up. And just sitting at that first service, and suddenly I had felt a hand on my shoulder. No one was there. Felt a hand on my shoulder saying, "You are home." This is voice in my ear, "You're home." I was like, okay. Then within a month, after one of the church services, met my now wife at church. And we just have had an amazing ride together. We've also have experienced some heartbreak and stuff, but each time we face that heartbreak and stuff, it's a struggle at times, but we give it up to God and trust that he has something better in store for us, that, or he's putting us to help others, in a place to help others. And so it's definitely, that Christian faith is definitely there, strong with me and stuff, but it's also a struggle at times. You know, there's people that I'm sure you come across that call themselves Christians, and then the next sentences that come out of the mouth are not very Christian-like at all. So, talking about your idea of listen then speak, how do you approach conversations with people? Like, you know, we're supposed to help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they're on the wrong path and stuff. So when you hear someone say something, especially I imagine with your goals of raising ideas or raising awareness of racial and social injustices, when you hear someone say something so far from being, whether it be politically correct, you know, just wrong, you know, like, how do you steer people back to Christ and what they should be doing and saying?
That's a really good question, Dustin. Honestly, what I do is examine myself, and always see where I fall in that equation. And a lot of times, you know, since we're speaking, if your audience is primarily faith-based, I can be preaching to the choir here. Know that it's not my responsibility to convince them, and that I really don't have the power to do that. But I can lead by example. And part of it is actually listening to them. There's a proverb that actually says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's his folly and his shame. And when it comes to social issues, since that's what we're talking about, there are a lot of, man, just breathing wrong these days can turn into a social tripwire. And I think a lot of times we're not willing to listen to our fellow man or somebody who looks and talks and walks and sounds different from we do. We already have our prejudgments, prejudices, in our mind and our own implicit bias, and we all have them. And I think that unwillingness to listen is what puts up the walls. So I tell myself, all right, breathe, one, and when someone is speaking, listen to a matter in totality, because that's where that, you know, when I was speaking to my dad earlier, just sitting down and listening to him for once, just kind of hear him out, it's like that allowed a paradigm shift, and it kind of broke down some of that thick wall of anger that I had. And so when we actually listen to our fellow man and listen to where they're coming from in their frame of reference, this person may have been taught and raised in that way since they were two. You know, I'm not in one conversation going to change that.
Right.
But if I listen to them and find out where they come from, I can understand how to take that journey with them and know that that journey is going to be messy. You know, it's not going to just be kind of like a 1-2 punch. And that we are going to disagree on some things, but over time, if we listen one to another, we can come to a place of consensus. And ultimately, if, you know, from a faith-based standpoint, I can trust the Holy Spirit to be the one to open their eyes, because I can only make a mess if I try to open their eyes. I'm going to say or do something that's just going to throw a wall up and be like, oh, that's how it is. But if I trust God, you know, Ephesians says there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The same thing that revealed to me that I'm a sinner and I need a savior, that's the same spirit that can reveal to them, this is the right of that wrong. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I explained very well. That's powerful. Thank you. Now, I'm maybe after having heard you just say that, there's times where, you know, whether it be social media or another way where I've tried to gently nudge people in the right way or try to correct them or just listen to them. But then you get so much that pushback that where their guard instantly goes up and where they're not going to listen to you at that point. And then it's just going to become an argument or a fight from then on and stuff like that. Do you have advice for being able to distance yourself from that conversation and then come back? Because I feel like right now with so much going on with, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, all the different things that people are saying, because people are, you have some people saying like, well, all lives matter. And it's like, well, that's, you're missing the point. You're not hearing what we're saying. Like, and just because I say Black Lives Matter doesn't say I'm against police. Like, so there's just that constant back and forth where people aren't hearing each other. So how can you, with those kind of conversations, excuse yourself from the conversation and not be retreating from it and allowing that misinformation, that hatred, that resentment continue to grow because you stepped away from it, then introduce yourself back into the conversation?
Great question. You really can bring some deep questions here. I'm going to do my best with this one.
Sure.
And I want to say this into your audience, whoever's under the sound of my voice. Deep empathy, a lot of times, is going to be birthed out of deep experience. And so in those situations, in a sense where everyone's up here and not really listening, I need to step away, kick the dust off my feet for a second, and allow you to have some experiences that are introduce empathy. A lot of times our empathy grows out of our lived experience. And so maybe you need to see what it's like or experience what it's like to be discriminated against, experience what it's like to have implicit bias, experience what it's like to have some glass ceilings, just so you can see for yourself, this is where this person is coming from. You know, now I tend to be, I think someone would look at my complexion and think that I'm from a certain political party or I think a certain way. They're very surprised. I'm a very independent when it comes to things politically. So your audience may or may not like this. I am neither Democrat nor Republican. I am just a theocrat. I am a Christian. And that's what I use to inform my worldview. That's kind of how I go about things. Now, again, I am definitely not against the police. I live in the inner city of D.C. So when I see a sign that says defund the police, I'm like, no, don't remove the police from my neighborhood. Please. I do want the police, however, to do their job. And if you are wearing that badge, to be a good steward over what God and the city has entrusted to you and give the taxpayer their due. If you're abusing your privileges, you need to lose your job. You need to do jail time. I'm a firm believer in that. And so I think to me, that's the balance of it. And I, you know, because I think within certain social circles or evangelical circles, Black Lives Matter has such a negative connotation to it, because it's like, is this backdoor? Is this some sort of backdoor political ploy for an agenda, or is this actually helping the Black community? And I myself have had those own feelings. You know, I'm like, I don't exactly know who this is helping, because I live in the inner city. So it's like, when Act Blue says they're getting all this money, I'm like, I'd like to see where it's going. Right. But at the same time, I know the term Black Lives Matter, I can agree with that, because historically in this country, even if you add up the numbers, that may has not always been the case. I think I'm saying that right. And so I think that's a person's point of passion. We're saying, you know, Black Lives Matter. But I know a certain group of people politically may use that term a lot. And I'm like, well, all Black lives need to matter. Black fathers matter. Black babies matter. Yeah. And typically when that term is used, at least politically, it's used a lot when you see something on the news involving a white cop and a Black person, it's used for a political agenda, but not exactly always used in a context where it helps the people who need it most. And I think that would be the issue with the people who may be considered the evangelical right, you know. I'm trying to speak this balance as I can in this, you know, as a person who is independent, because you're going to catch some hell from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's the Democratic left or the evangelical Republican right. I may say something that ticks off both sides, but I'm going to speak as I believe God is leading me. So I hope that answers your question.
No, that does. And I thank you for speaking as you're being led and stuff. And I would neither consider myself Democrat or Republican either. Definitely more independent. I think it's, for me, it's, and my wife, we vote more on the issues. When this last election, there were certain things where I voted Republican, certain things I voted Democrat, certain things I voted independent. And that's one of the things too, I think that I wanted to ask you about, especially living in DC, where you have, it seems like the landscape, I don't know if it's maybe the last 20 years or more, maybe 30 years, where the whole system, the political system of checks and balances, Democrat, Republican, was built to create equality and the best for a country. And it doesn't seem like they are doing that, that Democrats and Republicans are trying to do that anymore. I feel like over the last several presidents, especially, it seems like they are just trying to cancel out whatever the other party wants to do. They're not, it doesn't seem like, maybe you have a different finger in the pulse because of living in DC. And I haven't been very much into politics. I've kind of avoided as much as I can, but as things continue to rise and get to the point we're at, you can't avoid politics anymore. You really have to take a stand at things. But doesn't it seem like to you that they're not really trying to benefit the country? It's just trying to undo what the other person is doing. And when you have certain politicians willing to reach across the aisle, then their own party then like banishes them or shames them for it and does whatever they can to get them out, like Cheney recently and some others. They are just suddenly trying to get them out of any kind of power. Doesn't it seem like that's been that way over the last like growing 20, 30 years and where they're not listening and speaking, listening first, then speaking?
That's a good question. And I'll do my best to answer to my knowledge. As someone who, when I started Department of Justice, my job was off the Senate side of the Capitol. And my last supervisor there actually said, I want you to see a deeper level that the government works at. So she had me go to congressional hearings. And I was just quite surprised at how much these people run together. You know, there's so much that you don't see on the CNN or MSNBC or Fox. You know, I tell people, even though it's boring, watch C-SPAN. You'll get a good tenor of what happens on the floor of the Senate and how much of it is really just a show. And so it's unfortunate because I believe that at their inception, each person has gotten into politics, not each, but many of them, to be a public servant. And I think they mean well and they're trying to get to the same place, but they have different ideologies. And now, I mean, we see from 2016, you know, that was just a whole nasty election cycle. And I'm not saying I'm for or against one or the other, but it wasn't, instead of it being about the people, it was more about, let me just run a smear campaign on this person. And ultimately, in this, no matter if you're a farmer in the middle of Iowa or a inner city person who works for the government every day, it's just like, well, what about my needs? And I think that's where people are beginning to get fed up. And ultimately, if you think about outside of our United States, there's an agenda, you know? And so going back to what you were asking me earlier about like the social issues, I think a lot of it is many of us, because we're passionate about our culture, passionate about the skin we wear and what we come from. We typically, if we're watching the news and getting caught up in the media, we're missing the fact that people are getting pit against each other. So we're not effective as a country. Mm-hmm. And if we're not effective as a country, another country comes in. And so part of listening and speaking is also listening for what you don't hear and what you don't see. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a lot of times when we watch the news, you're going to be either misinformed or not informed at all. And so I encourage people, whether you're a person of faith or you're not, be in meditation, be in prayer, so you can really hear more than what is presented. That way you don't get caught up in the scene of things. You know, being here in a major city, of course, the last summer here, there were so many marches and there wasn't that much rioting here because the National Guard is right here in D.C. But I'm like, man, people are getting so caught up in the scene of things, they don't even know what they're marching for. Yeah. So it's very important when these quote unquote public servants aren't doing their job, they're playing a game as well. And the elite are going to play a game. They're not, you know, the masses, if the masses are not really taking time to step back from it all, you get played. Yeah. And, you know, part of the reason why I started listening to speak is like, I don't want to see people get played, you know, but I myself don't want to get played. So I need to make sure that I'm not getting caught up in the scene of things. I hope that answers your question.
No, it definitely. That's great. Now, we've talked a little bit about like Black Lives Matter, a current issue going on here in my hometown, Cleveland, is our baseball team just changed their name or announced the changing of their name. They've been the Cleveland Indians for over 100 years now, and they're going to be the Cleveland Guardians. And so many people are up in arms because of the changing of the name. And do you think it's more because people just don't like change and they're trying to hold on to that nostalgia? Something they've had for hundreds of years? Or, I mean, what do you think within these people that are getting so upset about it and are... I mean, you probably can't speak for them. I guess I'm going to answer my own question, but the fact that, you know, people are willing to overlook what is a racial injustice and a racial slur towards a specific group, and this has been talked about for 2 years now, like that the Indians were going to change their name, or the Cleveland baseball team is going to change their name to something else, and. So suddenly when the new name comes out, it's like a louder roar. Like, what would be your approach on speaking with such a rabid fan base as the people that don't want to change the name from something racially insensitive to something like Guardians? Okay, hold up. I want to talk to you about something real quick. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. Like, how do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen to podcasts on? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. As I mentioned, Anchor distributes your podcast to all the different platforms such as Google, Apple, Spotify, and it has some great background music you can add to your podcast to give it a little extra flair. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
I would think a response personally, because obviously this will be recorded and this will be playback, is something that needs to be thought out well. I mean, in my own city here, obviously, you know, my football team doesn't have a name anymore.
Right,
it's
right.
Just the Washington football team. And that's been something that's been happening since I was a little boy. They've wanted to long change the name from the Redskins because it's considered offensive. And someone very close to me said, oh, you know, Native Americans aren't offended by that. And I'm like, how do you know that? You know, I actually know someone personally who is of Native American descent, and they were very offended by that. And I think when we don't, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about that empathy. When you don't share someone's culture, you may not share their skin tone and their lived experience. You can't exactly empathize with what bothers them. You can assume and you can presume, you know, what is bothering them. And I know in today's society, it can be like, man, everything's going woke. I feel like I can't breathe. I feel like I just can't even have a conversation without offending someone. But I think for the longest time also, we haven't considered, you know, how these things land with people who wear skin and have experiences that we don't. So with that, I would say to those who are kind of up in arms about it, it's like, just sit still if you can and think that you don't have their lived experience. You know, they were here first and everything pretty much was taken from them. And they've had to endure a lot of the atrocities that many of us haven't. Now, I'm a black man in America. I haven't had a very, if I can say this, I didn't grow up in a very racially charged household. And I have not, you know, when I was in Kentucky, I got pulled over by cops, but one just said, hey, you left your umbrella on top of your car. I hope you have a good day. So, wow. But again, there are people who wear my skin who've been stopped and who have not had a good experience. And so I can't just take the, and I'm gonna drop her name, I can't just take the Candace Owens route and just say, because this is my experience, this is the experience of everyone that looks like me. Mm. I have to enter into empathy and say, what about those who haven't had a good experience? And I mean, I know some people to get stopped by the cops are criminals, and there needs to be a reprimand, but about those who were just driving and going on their merry way, and someone decided, you know, to use their power in an ugly way, it's like, well, that's an injustice against that person. And sometimes, unfortunately, it may be an injustice because of the skin that they wear. And so, to answer your question, I want to make sure I do answer it. If the situation with Cleveland, those who don't wear the skin of Native Americans need to consider, how does this land with them? And yes, it's a change. Yeah, I got to change my jerseys. I got to change my basement. I got to change my paraphernalia. But they've had to change their whole address multiple times.
Right.
It's not really that big of a deal, if I can say that the right way. And as our team name is still in transition, I think it's going to be the Washington Warriors. You know, nostalgically, I always know them as the Skins. You know, my grandfather was a Redskins fan. My dad was. I grew up being a Redskins. I still remember the game we beat the Buffalo Bills, man. That was like our last Super Bowl, you know, when we still had the Hogs, man. I loved it.
I was a Bills fan back then, too. I was a Bills fan back then. Man.
Oh, I loved that. I loved every minute of that game. I can still remember it. Man. Oh, yeah. I still remember what I was wearing. But it is what it is. It's like, I'm not going to stop breathing because their name has changed. I just want them to win some games, man. You know, yeah. I want them to get to a championship. As long as they're winning games, man, that's all that matters to me. And there are worse things, you know. No matter what skin we wear, and as bad as it has been getting in the last year, we still live under a crazy amount of privilege in this country.
And so, absolutely.
To me, that's the first world problem that I'm not going to lose any sleep over. I hope that answers your question.
I had totally forgot about, you know, I've been talking about you living in D.C. and I totally forgot about the Redskins, the Washington football team changing their name and stuff. And I was glad you answered that. Yeah. You're going to always remember Redskins. But, you know, and we have that here in Cleveland. Like, we, you know, they changed the name of the field. And for the first, you know, like 20 some years of them being at the field, it was Jacobs Field. Everyone called it the Jake. Now it's Progressive Field, but everyone, their shirts, it's still the Jake to me. It's like, okay, well. And just Friday when I was leaving downtown, I saw people wearing Lindor jerseys and Tomey jerseys and players that hadn't been on the team in years. It's like, well, you'd still wear those shirts and stuff, those jerseys. Like, you're still going to, even though the name's going to change. Like, so why are you getting bent up out of shape out of just a name? And personally, I like the Guardians. And there's old stories out there like about why they chose the Guardians name. And I like it. So for those of you who are upset about them, change from Indians, sorry. Like, you know, one of my 4th of July hats I always wear is Chief Wahoo with the stars and stripes across it. And I've stopped wearing that the last few years, as it's been more and more prevalent. And while I grew up with black friends, and my brother, one of his best friends was a black friend that passed away and stuff, like, I've always been aware of a lot of the social discrimination stuff that goes in, but it's really become more prevalent for my wife and I the last 2 years, as we became foster parents and our kids are black. And taking them to church and to our friend's house stuff, we have people, oh my gosh, they're so cute, look at them, like, they're adorable. And people ask us and we'll tell them our story and how we got to where we are. But there's times where if it's just me or just my wife taking one or both kids out, then we get the looks, like, really? And it's disappointing, you know. But like you, like, we don't react right away. Like you tell us to take a moment to be still. And that's something I've been hearing a lot lately about being still. And it's one of my podcast episodes. I think it's about to drop right before this one, about being still and taking a moment. Cause my slogan has always been keep moving forward, but I've been hearing lately about really in different things in life, even Oprah on the Shattered Glass podcast, she was talking about, like, when you're looking for answer, just be still. The answer will come to you. Just take a moment. So thankfully, we've been pretty good with our keeping our mouth shut when we get those looks from people and wondering what we're doing with the black baby or black kids. But it's just hearing someone in your position and using the platform that you have and that you created for yourself, being a speaker, and just you and I talking before this interview, hearing how much your platform is growing, it's just awesome to witness and to have an opportunity to talk to you about it and hear about it. And one of the things I wanted to bring up is yours, you know, aside from the listen and speak, you kind of have a slogan, let's get into it. I want you to tell our listeners, you know, what your let's get into it is about.
Okay, so the way my brand started was I was just taking walks through the woods, and that's a bit of a story in and of itself. Like, after my dad passed, even being a man of faith, I toyed around with being an atheist, and so I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to talk to God. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to do anything. And so I live in the inner city, and it gets a lot of people over there now. But when I first came back home from living in Williamstown, there was no one on this tennis court. So I would just go there and just walk in circles. I didn't know what to say to God, so I just started dropping a bunch of F-bombs. I know that may sound a little crass for our listeners, but that's all that would come out of me. And I realized I was just sitting there for miles and miles on a court by myself, just throwing up profanity. I probably look crazy to people walking by. But I said, I saw all these woods around me, and I said, man, why don't I just go and do that somewhere a little bit more private? So that's what I started doing, and that profanity turned into prayer. So I call it, like, profanity to praise. And I started talking to God again. I was very angry, you know, coming back and watching my father die in front of me, you know, after having a major stroke. And so I started, it's weird, I would have these thoughts that would come to me. And I would do like a video for a minute and a half, and I started posting it to LinkedIn, of all places, and not quote unquote known as a social platform. I would just say, hey, let's get into it. That's what I would just say when I would do my video, because I was like, it's a thought. And something that God has given me, and it's a concept. It's like, yo, we need to get into it. And so when I say let's get into it, and when I say it on my podcast, it's always to build someone up and not to break them down. I know a lot of times when you hear, hey, me and such got into it, it's usually like argument or like something that they had a falling out. And it's like, no, we're getting into it so we can actually dig deeper. Well, whatever this topic is, whatever this subject matter is, let's get into it, whatever it is. Because a lot of times, the reason why there's so much division right now is because we're not getting into it. We're actually dwelling on the surface, and we're just presuming we think we know something, and then we just divide from there. Let's get into it. So that's what I mean when I say that.
And I love that. I love that. To build people up, not to tear them down. So that's such powerful stuff, man. Your podcast has been a blast listening to. I really have enjoyed your guests that you've had on there. And they've been dropping all kinds of knowledge bombs, as you've dropped a lot of great things on here today, and I just appreciate that. Where can people find out more about you, what you're doing, how to be a part of it, how to be part of a movement of listening than speaking?
Great question, Dustin. So yeah, man, so my website is www.listenthenspeak.com. You can also get in contact with me through the website, LinkedIn. I'm very, very active there. Also Instagram, my handle is JLoves, and it's a LUVSTO listen. J loves to listen on Instagram and on TikTok. I'm not totally that active on TikTok. TikTok's more of a place where I do like comedy stuff. but you can definitely hit me up on Instagram. Definitely find me on LinkedIn. I'm super active there. If you'd love to be a guest on Listen and Speak, feel free to hit me up at the website and drop an email to my email, and or guestio. So I'm more than happy to be a guest or to take a guest. And I love having folks on that have a story and have a background. Most podcasts kind of focus on the target of like sports or this, that, and the other. I want to take a person's holistic journey. Who they are as a person, their faith or their lack of faith, their job, you know, all of these things make us who we are, and all of it circles back to our mental health. We have headspace while we're doing these things. And so I want to know, like, in your whole journey, all the highs and lows, how did that affect your mental health, and how has that made you who you are today? So that's where folks can find me. These are the things I love talking about, and I love broaching topics that may seem controversial but come into a place of consensus. So I hope that answered your question, bro.
Awesome answer. And I love the Instagram handle, man. Jay loves to listen. That's cool. That's an awesome name, man. Thank you again so much for being on. Definitely we'll want to have you back at some point and circle back and just kind of talk more topics, talk about you more and how things are going as you're continuing to build your podcast and your following. And once you become that TikTok legend, I'm sure you're going to be, I've gotten into TikTok either, man. It's just has not been my thing. I should, but just hasn't been my thing. So, and this is for those of you who are watching this for the first time. This is my first video podcast, but you can still find this podcast, of course, online in our normal platforms. But again, Jamal, thank you so much for being on. I had a blast talking to you. Look forward to talking to you again, and just keep doing what you do, man. You're definitely sending out a positive message and helping build that. What's the word I'm looking for? Just building fellowship is the word I'm using. You're building fellowship for people, helping bridge those gaps. And that's just such a powerful thing that we need these days. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing God's work, and just God bless you, man.
A pleasure, brother. Grace and peace, man.
All right, man. Take care. What's up, everyone? Dustin here again. Just wanted to say thank you again for listening to my podcast. Hope you found the information helpful. Again, my goal here is to help you get past that stuck feeling and find that life of greatness. If you have a story that you think would help others come unstuck and want to share it, I would love to talk to you and have you on for an episode. Or maybe you're feeling stuck yourself and have some things you want to work out. Would you like to do a podcast episode where maybe we show what some of this greatness facilitating is? I would love to talk to you then as well. And that coaching session would be free. So whatever you decide, if you have an idea of how to help someone, I'd love to hear from you. Dustin@stepuptogreatness.com. Thanks again for listening. Like, subscribe, and share.